protect their identity?
And we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Nick McNamaran here with agriculture agent Greg McClure from the Riley County Research and Extension. We were talking a little bit about the wheat plot tour earlier. We're going to shift gears here. There's plenty of more things to talk about, including coming up. Oh, I'm going to switch my page so I know what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about the hazardous occupation safety training, the agriculture course. It's tractor safety course.
Tractor safety, yep.
And with harvest coming up, this is very important.
Well, with harvest, with anything, it's important because we're looking at young kids who really don't have any experience. And who don't understand that they're not invincible. So we teach a tractor safety course every year. It's designed for we actually invite students as young as 12, but we're really certifying the 14 and 15 year olds. 14 and 15 year old tractor drivers are the ones that are required to be certified in order to operate a tractor over 20 horsepower on a farm for someone other than their parent. And so if they're going to work for grandpa, they're required to have the class.
How long has this course been? You've been holding it. You say you do it every year, but
we do it every
years?
Year. Of course, you know, I'm not sure when that law came into effect. I think in the 70s. So I've been doing it since about 1986.
So a long
time. I've been doing it a long time. So that's how long I've been in this job, and we've been doing it every year. It's evolved over time. Of course, I started the job in a different county. I started in Clay County, and back in those days, I would get 25. Now we'll get 25 students from about a five-county group.
Okay.
So we do it as a group. We'll hold it over at Canequip in Wamego. That's, I think, a real improvement over what we used to do because we've got all the equipment we can go out and look at. So we'll spend quite a bit of time in the classroom. We talk about safety. We don't actually teach them to drive. And I make the point that I did that the first year, and I learned that that's really not smart because I had – well, there actually were two of us doing it, but we had 25 students, two of us, all these kids. They said they'd been on a tractor. They hadn't, and it was scary. And so we're not going to do that. You know, that actual learning to drive needs to be a one-on-one deal with their employer or with their parent, and that's just the way we're going to do that. We'll teach them the safety part. We're going to try and instill an idea of safety in their mind. We're trying to convince them that they aren't invincible. Try to let them know some of the dangers that maybe they haven't thought about. Honestly, I should have had a tractor safety class because many of these things, I've had enough close calls that, you know, I'm just lucky.
And touching back on the driving portion, you mentioned that that's not sort of the thing you're going to do. You had kids who weren't able to – who weren't familiar with driving these equipment saying they could, and you had to try to train them. The whole point being safety, that seems a little counterproductive, and I understand why maybe you've shifted away from that side of things.
Well, you know, it's, dangerous. And honestly, it can be dangerous for the parent that's going to do the instruction. It'll be easier for the modern farmer. You know, I admit we're a hobby farm. Our tractor is a 1960 model 4010. So no cab. And so when I put my son on this tractor a couple years ago, what am I going to do? Well, I can't just put him on it. I've got to, you know, we teach him one tractor, one rider, but yet what are you going to do with the instructor? You know, the new tractors have got a cab. They've got an instructor seat. The old ones don't. And so in our case, you know, my spot was on the drawbar right behind him. And what I he probably wouldn't appreciate me telling this, but what I hadn't really thought about was I hadn't taught him to drive a standard transmission. So he didn't really understand a clutch.
Oh, no.
And so he kind of knew it was there, but he didn't know – he didn't have a feel for it. So here I am on the back of the tractor. He's taken off. You know, we'll put it in gear, you know, and let up on the clutch. Boom.
Find
the
friction zone.
Yeah. And I didn't give him good enough instructions. It's let up on the clutch, and boom, he about dumped me off the back end.
Oh.
Okay. Well, we talk about that for a little while, and we go on. He actually got fairly decent. And actually, just a month ago, I got him in a standard transmission, and he thinks I'm still impatient as I was teaching him to drive that. But I would recommend teaching him to drive in a vehicle with standard transmission before you put them in an old tractor that has a clutch.
Yeah, my help out a little bit with – so as we're talking safety, on the safety side of things especially.
It's a little safer as the instructor. Would you rather be bounced around in the cab, or would you rather be bounced off the back of a tractor? I'd rather be bounced around in the cab.
It's a pretty easy balance act there, or weigh the cost and benefits on that
pretty,
one.
Pretty easy to decide which one works best.
And when you're talking about the type of training you'll be doing, you mentioned different types of tractors. Will it be geared so that they'll know a bit of safety for different scenarios regarding whether there's a cab or not?
Well, yeah, we're going to hit the big things, though. You know, we're going to talk about power takeoffs. We're going to talk about rollovers. We're going to talk about center of gravity, how easy it is to tip these tractors over. You know, we run through an awful lot of things that seem like they ought to be obvious, but they're not really.
I mean, to those who have been doing the job for a long time, yeah, but if I were to go step out there, I wouldn't know.
You think it would be obvious that if you've got a loader on your tractor, you put a load on it, you raise it up in the air, you change the center of gravity to where it's more likely to tip over. You'd think it'd be obvious, but I remember being 15 years old, out stacking hay, raise that thing up in the air, I'm going along, and it starts to tip. It surprised me.
Yeah, you think the machine's heavy enough and can handle that load? And
it just, so we try to get some of those things into their heads to where maybe they'll be a little safer when they get out on farm.
And I believe we do have another caller waiting patiently for us. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, you're on In Focus.
Yes, sir. Conversation about the back of the tractor fit right in. My great uncle was sitting on the seat of his tractor, turned around backwards, hanging his legs over the back. Luckily had an old pair of coveralls. The tire takeoff was turning, caught the leg of his pants. The power came on, just snatched those old coveralls right off of him, sitting there on that seat. You've got to be so careful around all that equipment. Thank you for the program.
Yeah, thank you. You know, and that's one of the things we try to teach these kids, that 540 revolutions per minute, that's about, close to 6 revolutions per second. So 540 is the revolution per minute on a power takeoff, 540 RPM, 6 revolutions per second. And their reaction time, if they're the fastest, would be a half a second. It's more like 3/4 of a second at best. And so that means you're wrapped around that power takeoff shaft about 4 or 5 times before you have a chance to react. One of the instructors that used to teach this class with us, he would always disappear during the time we talked about power takeoffs. And we didn't figure it out for 4 or 5 years what the deal was. This is an extension agent. He had lost his pants in a power takeoff, and he was just lucky. You know, they were bad enough that they ripped off instead of wrapping him around the shaft.
Oh.
Because, you know, wrapped around the shaft, you're dead.
Yeah.
I think one of the more interesting stories I've heard lately came out of Nebraska earlier this week. You heard that about the guy that got his foot stuck in the auger.
Well, there were two of them, weren't there?
Is there another one?
Well, prior to that, there's one. Yeah, I saw that one. Got his foot stuck in the auger.
And
prior
cut off
to that,
his leg with a pocket knife.
Right. Prior to that, I saw one on Facebook, and I think it was a 10-year-old story, but it was on there that a guy had cut off his arm with his pocket knife.
Oh, really?
Because he had it stuck.
Jeez.
I think it was a baler or something, and it was actually starting on fire.
I heard that.
Yeah.
And on fire.
Yeah.
So he had a time aspect, too.
So he had a time aspect. You know, and
Baylors can get hot.
They both probably made the decision to live. There was a young man in my high school, he's about 4 years younger than me, that lost an arm in a round baler.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a round baler, and, you know, if you know the concept, you've got rollers, and sometimes those rollers come together. So it was one of those points where they came together, and he was still there. I mean, they had to rescue him from it. But they say that the reason that he survived that when it tore it off is because of that friction and enough heat to cauterize that so he didn't bleed to death. But his arm was missing clear up to the shoulder.
Oh, man.
There are way too many. You know, I don't have the list in front of me, and I don't think I want to go back through and name them. But, you know, the first one was when I was 13 years old. My best friend's brother was killed in a tractor accident. So a rear overturned little Ford tractor just popped over and killed him right there. And got way too many of those. And when we teach the class, the other instructors say, you know, you really don't want to hang around with Greg. You know, his friends don't do well around tractors. And I'm not sure why I have that many more stories to tell, but there's way too many of them.
Well, definitely lends toward the discussion of safety and the importance of it as well.
It certainly has an impact on me. It makes me nervous to put my kids out on a tractor because I know people who have lost family members. I know many who have lost family members. I have a coworker whose in-laws lost a son in a tractor accident, and a lot of it happens. It's a dangerous business, and we want to try to teach a little bit of safety.
Yeah. Have
we put the dates out there yet?
I don't think we have. I was going to ask you that right next.
So our tractor safety course is Tuesday and Wednesday. We run a two-day course to May 28 and 29. So 9 to 4 the first day, 9 to 3 the second day. Honestly think we're going to figure out how to shorten that second day because we've got some kids that need to get to discovery days. But we're going to figure out how to make this work. But anyway, you know, kind of a full 2 days of tractor safety will be held at CanEquip in Wamego. We need reservations for that by the 22nd.
And you can send those to the Pottawatomie County Extension Office.
That's right. We've got that set up on the Pottawatomie County Extension Office website. So www.pottawatomie.ksu.edu. There's a $30 registration fee. That's mostly meals and snacks. But there's a manual, too. The manual's about $10. The rest of it's food.
Yeah, lunch is provided both days.
Correct.
And the phone number for Pottawatomie County Extension Office, 785-457-3319.
Glad you knew that. I couldn't remember it.
I had the press release, so yeah. I'm cheating a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah. And we're running out of time here.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, I know, right? And so just to touch on these real quickly, reminder, we just highlighted it. Tractor safety course at CanEquip Wamego. That's the 28th and 29th. Registration's due by the 22nd.
Correct.
And then we're going to go down to the wheat plot tour. That's coming up May 30th, 6:30 p.m., and registrations are due by the 29th.
There you go. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks for coming out, Greg. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's it for us here on In Focus. If you missed any of this episode, you can check it out on our website, News Radio KMAN, archived in the on-demand section, and you'll find In Focus there. Coming up Monday, Cheryl Collins from the Riley County Historical Museum.
All right. Thanks, Nick. And we'll be switching sides here in the studios, as we'll have Blueville's Horticulture Hints coming up next with Derek from Blueville. We've got a bunch of things to talk about, including some equipment matters and warm season grasses, among other topics.
When it comes to shopping, there's no place like home. That's why your local Carpet One of